Hello. So our reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 9 to 14. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, when I was little, I remember hearing this passage in Sunday school, and I heard those words, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So I took this very literally, and I said a prayer. I said, "Dear God, I would like a pink bike, please. In Jesus' name, amen." So I'd done everything that was asked. I'd said all the magic words. I said, "In Jesus' name." I'd even said, "Please." So I was totally sure I was going to get a pink bike, just like that one on the screen. And I didn't get it. I did not get the pink bike. My prayer was not answered. So why did Jesus say, "Ask me for anything"? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this chance to unpick together what it means. And Lord, we pray that you'd guide our hearts and our minds so that we can get to know you better this evening. Amen. So, of course, as an adult who's been praying for a number of years now, I know that prayers aren't always answered, particularly ones about pink bikes, but even the serious prayers, they're often not answered. So I know deep down that when Jesus says, "You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it," he doesn't mean for us to take that completely literally. I mean, what kind of a God would he be if he did do that? Because humans can want some pretty awful things at times, can't we? And so if he did everything we asked, the world would be a nasty place, so it's good that he doesn't. But what is going on here? What does it really mean? So rule number one when you're looking at the Bible is to look at the context. We don't just take a verse in isolation and look at that, because it leads to confusion and disappointment and need for therapy, because all these years when I didn't get my pink bike and I couldn't understand why. So let's look at the context. Well, if we look back in this chapter as to what has just happened, Jesus has just been explaining to the disciples that he is going to die. So on hearing this, I can imagine the disciples are on like an emotional roller coaster. They're probably feeling angry and scared and disbelief, confusion, all of these things. What is going on? And the part of the conversation that we're looking at today, it starts with Jesus saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." So clearly their hearts were troubled, and very understandably. And aside from all these emotions, they're probably asking a lot of questions too about what this means for their future if Jesus is going to die. How many of you have had COVID? So nearly the whole building. I'm guessing that every one of you that hasn't had COVID, you probably know a family member or a close friend who has had it. Now, a lot of things happen when you see that stripe on the test or you get that positive PCR come back. A lot of things happen very quickly in your mind. First of all, you think, "Oh no, what's going to happen? Am I going to get really sick?" And then you think, "Who have I been in contact with? Who have I made sick?" And then you get all the questions of, "Oh no, how am I going to?" And then the list starts. How am I going to get food? I haven't got anything in the fridge. How am I going to get my pet to the vet? How am I going to get that repeat prescription? How am I going to get my daughter to school? What am I going to do? And so we start to worry, how am I going to? And I think that this is probably similar to what went through the disciples' minds. How are we going to? how are we going to carry on this mission of Jesus if he's not physically with us? How are we going to carry on this mission to liberate the oppressed, to bring change, to bring the kingdom, if he's not here? I mean, he's been the keynote speaker. He's been the one doing all the chat about the kingdom. He's been the one who's been going around dealing with demons. He's been healing the sick. He's the one who's been doing everything. He's been revealing who God is. He's been bringing the lunch for thousands of people. How do they keep the show on the road if he's not there? And so Jesus responds in this passage exactly as we would if a friend said, "I've caught COVID." He says, "Let me know if there is anything I can do to help, anything. Just call and I'll do it. I'm here to help." But the key to understanding this is, what does he mean by anything? We know that if we say to a friend with COVID, "I'm here, if you need anything, just let me know," we don't really mean anything. It's kind of a boundary thing, isn't it? I mean, if your friend who had COVID said, "Oh, great, could you paint my shed? And could you weed my front garden? And I know it's only February, but would you mind doing all my Christmas shopping for next year so I'm like on track?" We would think, no, that's kind of outside the boundaries of anything. So what are Jesus' boundaries of anything? What does he really mean? And this is where we get to rule number two of understanding the Bible. Think about the language and how language was used in Bible times. Do you know what your name means? Yeah, lots of nods. So apparently Louise means famous warrior. Now, I've got no idea if this was in my parents' head or not. I suspect not. I think they thought, "Oh, that's a nice name. We'll give her that." But in Bible times, names really mattered. The names were chosen very specifically. And Mary was told to call Jesus, because that name means saviour or rescuer. So it was a sign of who he was and what he was going to become. And there's all sorts of other examples in the Bible about people changing names. So the fact that it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name," means something. So we know that when he says, "Ask in my name," he doesn't mean his name is a magic word that we tack onto the end of a prayer to make sure that it works. It's not like saying abracadabra. He's saying, "Ask in my name as Saviour. Ask in the context of who I am and what I'm doing. Ask in the context of me being the Saviour." So asking for a pink bike is definitely outside that offer. It's nothing to do with him being a Saviour. But then there's another side to names too, and that's signatures. So we sometimes use our name as a way of saying, "I agree with that." We might sign a contract to say, "I agree with those terms and conditions." Or we might sign a petition to say, "I agree with that issue." Or we might refuse to sign something and say, "I'm not signing that letter because I don't agree with it." So when Jesus says, "Ask in my name," he's saying, "Ask something that I would sign up to. Ask something that I would put my name against." So we're getting a little bit clearer now on what Jesus has in mind. So it's in the context of Jesus helping the disciples to carry on, to keep that show on the road, even when Jesus isn't physically on the earth. It's in the context of him being the Saviour, and it's about asking for something that he would sign up to. So just like when we say to our friend who's got COVID, I'll do anything to help, we mean in the context of your illness and your struggling. Jesus is saying, "I will do anything in the context of who I am and my kingdom." So in verse 13, he says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So that's the purpose. It's not for our enjoyment. It's not really for us. It's for the Father to be glorified in the Son. So he's offering to keep the show on the road, but he's doing more than that. He's inviting us to really get involved. In verse 12, it says, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." So that's quite an exciting invitation, isn't it, to build God's kingdom. And I did, last May, I did Dan's short course on pastoral care. And one thing has really stuck with me that he said. in caring for others, what we're doing is seeing, where is God at work? What's he doing? And then we're just joining in with that. And so that's what we're being invited to do here. So this invitation, it's not an invitation to treat Jesus like a genie, give him a wish list and expect him to magic all these things that we ask. It's about getting in tune with Jesus. It's about getting in tune with what part each one of us might play in that kingdom building. And that could be, maybe our role is to shine a light on how we're destroying the planet. Maybe we need to be that voice to say, this is not okay. Or maybe our job is to tell people about Jesus, to share who he is and be that voice of good news. Or maybe our job is to be the one who cares for the person that everyone else overlooks. But whatever our job is, we can know that Jesus will help us. We can ask him for anything in his name, as saviour, as rescuer. And it can be anything. We can pray big or we can pray detail. And I think sometimes we forget that we can pray about the tiny little things which could be part of his kingdom building. But of course, there are going to be times when we think we're in tune with Jesus. We think we're asking for something which is a kingdom thing. We think it's something that he would definitely sign up to. And it seems like a really good thing. And still our prayers won't be answered. An unanswered prayer is like a whole nother sermon. Or it's something to ask Dan about on Thursday if you go to his Any Questions thing. I reckon he'd love that. But what we're really learning in this passage is that Jesus is turning everything upside down. Because we can ask him for anything, but it's his mission that we're joining in with. He's not joining in with our mission. We're joining in with his mission. I've got a daughter who's 3. And at the moment, we're having to explain to her that life is complicated. It's not black and white. And the other day, she was at nursery, and it was lunchtime, but she was busy tidying up the toys. And tidying is a really good thing to do. They wanted to encourage her that she was doing something really wonderful, but it was lunchtime, so she needed to stop and get on with lunch. And she got really upset by this because she thought, but I thought tidying was the good thing, and now you're telling me to stop. And it is a good thing, but the timing wasn't right. And I think if our lives are complicated like this, imagine building a kingdom. Imagine how complicated it is that God is weaving together all these things. Perhaps we are praying for the right things, but just in the wrong time or the wrong context. But God has promised that if he does ask us to do anything, he will help us to do it. So why does Jesus say, ask me for anything? It's because he wants to invite us to join in with his rescue mission. He wants to invite us to play a part in that. And he's God, he's at work. Whether he's physically here on the earth or whether he's in heaven, he is at work. And he wants to remind us that as Christians, we're not doing this on our own. We have his help. And so we can trust him and we can ask him for anything. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your rescue mission. Thank you that you have invited each one of us to be a part of it. Thank you that you are on hand to help us. Help us to get in tune with you. Help us to want what you want. Help us to recognize where we can be your hands and your feet. And Lord, make us bold to ask you for anything, whether it's big or it's small. In your name, amen.